Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 1, we were beginning to talk about where the word Baptist came from. Let's continue with that study today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says.
This verse is a natural outflow that we're looking at now in verse 10 of verse 9. The standard the pastor's called to uphold, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, folks, when I say I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, I say that because we are labeled Baptists in our denomination. Now, I've told people Baptist is not a denomination because we believe in local church autonomy. So we're not really a denomination. I was at a funeral where a man spoke up, and he was just angry. It's his mother that was dead, and the funeral's about her, and so he had an opportunity to have the floor. He says, I want to tell you people, Jesus was not Baptist. And I want to stand up and say, no, he just authored all the Baptist doctrine, though. He gave it to us. It came from his heart when he ordained the local church, and then he set up doctrine for the local church. That's pretty well what he laid out, of course, layout and everything else. Okay, so I felt like doing it, but I didn't do it at the time just because their family is grieving, and it wasn't the time to cause a blowout inside a church building. Okay, so I didn't do it, and he got cut off pretty quickly anyway, so. But really, when you think about it, well, where does the name Baptist come from? Well, John the Baptist. It's not the Baptist local church today, okay? John the Baptist meant he was a baptizer. He baptized people by immersion. He did not sprinkle people. Jesus coming up out of the water wasn't coming up out of a glass. He coming out of the Jordan River. Okay, people got baptized in the river. They got baptized in water. They got immersed. That's what the word baptized means, is to immerse. And so, the doctrine was taught. And then, in about 250 A.D., Stephen of Rome, Bishop of Rome, okay, yeah, says that part of the Catholic, yep. And they excommunicated this group. Now, we're, as a Baptist, we're not Protestants. Okay, that's back in Luther's day. We were not Protestants. No, we got kicked out. Why? Because we were called Anabaptists. We actually got named by them. It was like the name Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Well, they did that as a derogatory word for us. Oh, that's a great thing. Christians, Christ-like. Oh, man. Sometimes I feel bad about calling a Christian. Christian, because sometimes I don't believe I'm Christ-like. But it's a good thing. There's a lot of saved people who aren't Christians because they are not Christ-like. But that was really, it identified them with Christ. Great thing to be identified with Christ, isn't it? Well, Baptists, they're called Anabaptists because they were called rebaptized. That meant they baptized somebody when they got saved instead of baptizing them as baby, counting even though they were baptized as a baby. Now, actually, back in that day, even in 250 A.D., they still were baptizing some babies by immersion. It wasn't till later that they started sprinkling because they had too many babies drowning in their baptism. That should have told them something. Church of England, by a vote of their parliament, by one vote, I mean by one, the difference between yes and no was one, and the yes won, and that is what the vote was to change to sprinkling or immersion. And by a margin of just one vote, they voted in being able to sprinkle. That's the whole thing of it. Some of them, I think, more along the line of Calvin Presbyterians, they wanted to justify sprinkling, and so their idea came out as that, well, this was like the sprinkling of the blood at the sacrifice. And so when they sprinkled the blood, showing that Jesus shed his blood for us, well, Jesus said that out of the people who get saved, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I think it looks at the Word of God as also referred to the water and so forth. And so, you know, I look more at the water of the Word and things of that nature, but salvation comes through the belief that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. And so you call upon Him to be your Savior, your Lord, your Savior, your God. That is what we do. And so we call upon Him. And He is the Lord. He is the Savior. And so He saves. But it's like a marriage. You know, isn't it interesting that Ephesians chapter 5, you start in verse 21, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. And then husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. I find it interesting that there's a lot of rebellion. I done a couple of weddings where the lady said in rehearsal, what if I don't say love, honor, and obey? What if I don't say that word obey? So that's up to you, but that's where I stop the wedding and it's over. And you go down the road and get married. You go somewhere else and get married. I said, you can still get married by man's law, but I says, here, this is a Christian wedding, and so you will say love, honor, and obey. But if you don't, then I'll stop the wedding right there. Now, I will say that none of them has tried me on that. But if they did, I would keep my promise on it. And so that wedding would not take place, but I have duly warned them. Now, and I've seen a couple of those that had a problem with obey. They said it, but later they were divorced because it was the lady's idea to divorce. That tells you anything, that had the lady that had a problem with obey ended up divorcing her husband in each case. Now, but as you read that chapter, there's more emphasis put on the husband's responsibility than in the woman obeying. It's important the woman obey because she is a picture of what the believer is to Jesus Christ. And so, believer ought to be able to see her subjection to her husband is what they ought to be, whether you're a man or a woman, to Jesus Christ. Like matter, the husbands show the world how Christ loves us, and so he's willing to give his life for that lovely wife of his. Now, you read all of that, but then you get to verse 32, you know what it says? This is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, salvation is not a picture of marriage. Marriage is supposed to be a picture of salvation. So when you're receiving Christ, you're making a commitment that I would say not only is as important as the vows of marriage, it's more important. With the heart, with your life, man believeth unto righteousness, that is the righteousness of Christ, and you're trusting Him to save you. And because it's His righteousness, not yours, you know, Ephesians 1:6, that when you stand before the Lord, you are accepted in the beloved. Now, isn't it right as the bride to call the groom, which would be Christ, the beloved, accepted in Him? What a special blessing that is. So again, we see that this idea here of marriage, after you've gone on that it's really a picture of salvation. Now, these preachers that have left that, these Christians left, but these churches that have left this idea are churches that are going to have to give an account. Now, we've said, verse 6 said this word unruly. Unruly. That's where we got started on this about marriage and so forth like that. But this verse isn't natural. As we said at verse 9. The standard the pastor is to hold. Holding fast the word of God as it was taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, strongly urge, encourage, and convince the gainsayers. Now, let me stop at that point and put out one other thing. We say, as I was saying earlier, fundamentalists, the Baptists, and that's what we got on to, is that a Baptist, well, we are Baptists because it's doctrine, but rebaptizers, we got named by Stephen Ephron as Baptists, and it was a derogatory name, but praise God, I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. These churches that are taking the name Baptist off their churches, I'm glad they are. And now some people, what do you mean you're glad they're doing that? Because they're not Baptists anymore. It'd be a lie to have it up there because their doctrine's gone from that. They've gone from God's way. They don't want holiness. They don't want standards. They don't want righteousness. So why should they be called Baptists? No, it doesn't bother me that they take the name off. It encourages me more than the ones that keep the name on because then it's a lie. But I know when we talk about fundamental and so forth, here's what I do. Yeah, I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. But fundamental, we see charismatics call themselves fundamental. We see Muslims call themselves fundamental. So fundamental basically is sticking to the doctrines of the foundations of that religion. Okay? Sticking to it, not going from it. Now, a biblicist sees the Word of God, not the culture, as the final authority in all things. The Word of God should be that which speaks to our heart in seeking the will of God. The Word of God tells us about the church, everything church. The church constitution is not the final authority in a local church. The Word of God is the final authority in a local church. Some people have a problem with what I just said, but really their problem's not with me, it's with God, because God has laid out the way a local church is supposed to be. So if anyone has a problem with that, then they have a problem with God. And it's not the culture. It's not what, our churches have done this for years. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, what your church has done for years is wrong.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.